I chose Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14, for our Mother's Day message. This is the reading of God's Word. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that. Oh, reading of God's Word. The title of my sermon today, Moms, Thank You for Being God's Instrument. But before we get there, let me begin by sharing one of the TV commercials I've been watching, which I absolutely hate. The commercial opens with a lady who obviously enjoys her cat a great deal. From the background, a young boy voice is heard as he shouts, "Mom, I fell." And this lady, who is his mom, responds, "Get a bandage from the cabinet." She does not bother to get up because she is completely immersed into her cat, having absolutely no concern for her son's well-being. The young boy voice is heard again as she shouts, "I'm bleeding." And the mother, once again, unbothered by his well-being and with a smile on her face because she is so happy to be with her cat, shouts back to her son, "Get two," meaning get two bandages on his own as he's bleeding. But she's not going to move an inch to look after her son, who is hurt and bleeding, because she's just too content being with her cat. This commercial infuriates me every time I watch it. The commercial twists and wrecks all the image of what a mother should be. According to the commercial, this mother is in love with her cat and makes time to feed her, but she has no care for her son's well-being. To me, this commercial inspires me to do one thing. That is, if I had a cat, I would never buy this brand. And if I could sue this company, I would sue them into bankruptcy for misrepresenting what the mother should be. Did I tell you how much I hate this commercial? But let's move away from my hatred. Because today I want to proclaim two beauties we find in God's Word. First, I want to proclaim the beauty of God's creation. I want you to hear God's creation is beautiful. And second, I want to proclaim how beautiful our mothers are meant to be in God. God didn't just create our moms. I want you to hear how beautifully God created her and is meant for us to see. So let's begin first, the beauty of God's creation. Let's first remember how our God created his people. In the beginning, Genesis 1, there were no people. When God first created the world, there were still no people. But after creating the world, God created his people to live and to thrive. Did you catch? When the world was not habitable, God did not create his people yet. However, when the world God created made living possible, God then created his people to live and to thrive in this created new world. The principle that our God chooses to use is consistent. God's principle of demand and supply is always true. When God demands for his people to live and to thrive, he first supplies our world to be a good place for his people to really live and to thrive. Please, let's learn to apply God's principle of supply and demand in our own lives as well. Whenever you feel that the demand of life is too much for you, because you know that you're not that strong, that you're not able to do it on your own, please remember this principle. And when you learn and remember God's principle, then you will know when God allows you to go through the troubles of your life, that sin, much too big and much too heavy for you, please pray that you will remember. Our God has already supplied what life demands from us. Our God supplies what he demands because he is the good provider. So let's first learn to go to our God, trusting and loving to obey our God, wherever he will lead us. Let's now behold how amazing, wonderful, and incredibly God created his people. When God first created his people, Adam, do you remember how he did this? Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man, where? From the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Did you know God first created his people from the dust of the ground? No, we were not created with the most precious treasures of the world, nor were we created by evolving from lower animals. No, we were not the product of big happenstance where somehow something unexplainable happened and then bang, there was a human being. No, please, don't let the lies of the world rob us of God's truth. The first human being, the father of all human beings, Adam, was created from the dust of the ground. Adam was made from dirt. But something amazing happened from this lowly beginning of a human being. God makes a glorious heavenly turn for his creation. So I want to take you there because I want us to ponder on that glory for a short while. Listen, Adam, though created from dust, is not simply a lowly creature, but he has the most glorious image there can ever possibly be. Let's go to Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, the Trinity is speaking and dialoguing amongst themselves. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Did you see? Though Adam's body is clearly made of dirt, his image is imprinted with God. To nature, made from lowly dirt, imprinted with God's image. Oh boy, these two don't seem to go together, do they? The lowliest of the low and the highest of the high, dirt and heaven are combined together in Adam. What an unusual yet amazing balance this is. Adam and all mankind must remember we are lowly. Therefore, arrogance or pride or to think too highly of ourselves should never be part of us because we know we were made of dust, lowly dust. Yet, hear me please, yet, we can never think too low of ourselves. We can never be self-deprecating. We don't have to suffer with a low self-view and low self-esteem. In ministry, I have found too many people in the church with a very low self-view and low self-esteem. And I'm here to proclaim to you, we don't have to be that because we know We were made in the highest image there ever was, in God's triune image. No one, nothing on earth has God's triune image except the people who were originally made from dust. How absolutely amazing and mysterious is that, to think that God's creation from the lowest of things, dirt, God has imprinted his most glorious image, the perfect and heavenly image of the God of heaven and earth, the triune God. Folks, that's our ancestry. You know, they have those ancestry tests these days, right? You pay. If you want to pay, then pay me. Because I'm here to tell you, your ancestry is made from dust, but having God's image. Ooh la la. Oh, man. Ooh, I got so excited thinking again about this. Made from dust, but having God's image. That's why, folks, arrogance should never be a part of people. That arrogance should have never a place in Christians, because we remember we're made from dust. However, low self-image, low self-esteem should also never be part of us, because we were made from the most glorious, perfect image of the Almighty Triune God. How do you reconcile these two incredible extremes, opposites? In our minds, sometimes it's so difficult to conceive that, isn't it? But that's why we believe in God's word over our own thoughts and emotions. Can I encourage you today? Don't believe you. Don't believe your feelings. Don't believe the things you see in front of the mirror. Don't believe the lies of the world. See, the media, so many, and may I say, including your own thoughts, they keep telling us, you are not that pretty. You are not that awesome. But I'm here to proclaim to you, you are. You really, really are. Because there's absolutely no greater image in you. There is absolutely no greater value in you than you'll find in the world. That's why we need to see all the hatred going on in the world about other cultures, about other races, about other colors. It is so against God's ways. It is wrong to devalue or undervalue other people. Yes, Black lives matter. They matter greatly. But it isn't only Black lives that matter. Every lives matter. White cops' lives matter. Brown lives matter. Every color matter. Because God has made every human being from dust, humility, to God's image. So please, don't ever look down on a homeless person just because he doesn't have a lot of money. Don't ever think less of somebody who has maybe not even have graduated high school. Educations do not put a worth value in us. Only God's creation does. So PhDs don't matter in terms of your value. Yeah, you're smart, and you probably get better pay, but it does not make you any more valuable than any other human being. I love my culture. I'm a Korean. But I hate something about our culture, because we have a tendency. Koreans are so stupid sometimes. We're so smart, so stupid. Because sometimes when we think other races are lower, we have a tendency of looking down and speaking down on them. horrible that is in Christianity. Don't be a Korean. Be a Christian. Don't be American. Be a Christian first. God's value. Amen? Yeah, those were not in my notes. I'm getting really... I began this sermon with the expressing my hatred for that commercial. It's carrying you. Let me come back to my notes. Please, let's never undervalue any human being. Let's never insult God's amazing creation of his people by thinking or believing that we have evolved from lowly animals when we have God's perfect and glorious image on us. Friends, we didn't evolve. We didn't. We were created amazingly in God's perfect and glorious image. That's the truth. That's our fact. Please believe it. And don't let the world lie to us, and especially to our children any longer. Don't let them. Don't let biology teachers mislead our children. God has made his people beautiful. That's my first proclamation. Now I want to proclaim the second beauty of God's creation. And I want you to hear how beautifully our mothers were meant to be in God's sight and therefore in our sight. You know, as our God did this amazing creation of human beings, combining the lowest and the highest, I kept asking, why didn't he keep doing this? We would think he should, because it was incredible creation, wasn't it? It was amazing. We have a saying in this world, why mess with perfection? Right? Well, this amazing truth, the people believing in evolution, let me reread my sentence. With this amazing truth, the people believing in evolution will all have to run for cover because they have no standing. I would think the rate of suicide and the number of depression among the people would drastically decrease, if not all. However, in God's infinite wisdom, he chose to move away from this miraculous way of creating people and chose to give birth to new people in a whole different way. Why did God do this? Or more precisely, where did God choose to give birth to people? You know, every person born after Adam and Eve had to be created differently. Every person after Adam and Eve were gifted, hear me, gifted the womb of a mother before the baby entered to see the light of this world. There are many questions we can ask in light of this, but today I want to focus on only one. And the one question I have for us to meditate today is this. Why? Why did God choose to create his people in a mother's womb? Why did God choose to create his people in a mother's womb? Now, God's word does not give us the definitive answer, so we cannot know for sure. However, we can use our common sense and wisdom and try to understand why God made his change of venue in creating new people. My simple answer is this. A mother is probably the most compassionate, loving, gentle, patient, caring, and loyal person a child can ever have in this world. Therefore, it is God's beautiful and loving design that all the babies born in this world should be conceived and grow without interruption inside this beautiful womb of a mother before her child is introduced into this world. This makes sense to me, as God's desire for every child would always have the mother's womb to be conceived, to be loved, to be shaped, and to grow before he or she will open one's eyes to face the world. Let's look to God's word as our God points us to his work and the beautiful result from it inside the mother's womb. Psalm 139, our scripture today, verse 13 and 14. Oh, this proclamation, folks. For you, who is that you? For you created my inmost being. You knit me together. Where? In my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Did you see what happened inside our mother's womb? God created and knit us where? Inside our mother's womb. All people are fearfully and wonderfully made. Where? Inside our mother's womb. The most glorious and wonderful work of God's creation happens inside the mother's womb. A new life that God alone creates happens inside the mother's womb. There is no greater canvas, no greater arena, no greater creation happening than inside the mother's womb. Please, don't believe when the world teaches that life begins after the baby is birthed outside the mother's womb, or some say 7 weeks into conception, or whatever number they want to give you. That's a lie. In God's infinite and all-wise and perfect thought and plan, he deemed the most appropriate and the most beautiful place to create a new life is inside the mother's womb. Mom, you here are God's designated and most beautiful, most amazing, most awesome place for God to make his most amazing creation. It ain't planting trees. It isn't putting stars on the sky. His most amazing creation is you, new people, born as baby. This makes me so happy for mom. But there's the flip side. And it also makes me extremely sad for what's happening today in our world. According to the World Health Organization, WHO, every year in the world, there are around 73 million induced abortions. 73. This corresponds to approximately 200,000 abortions per day. Most amazing place of God's gift of new life has become the largest and the fiercest place of death. How can we make killing babies a policy or law? Is there no fear of God in our country, in our leaders, in many of our citizens? I will confess this, please hear me. I don't really know all the reasons why a mother needs to abort her baby. I don't know them. And I'm sure some reasons are very, very reasonable, and I will not dispute them. But I also know too many people choose abortion, and their reasons I hear is a woman's right to choose, they say. A woman's right to choose. How can a woman's right to choose be to kill her baby? How can that be a freedom when it results in the death of her baby? Freedom for mom and death for the baby cannot possibly go together. Let me make it personal. If my mom aborted me, if your mom aborted you, because it was her right to choose. Would any one of us be here? Would any one of us be born? We need to weep for the sins we're committing in our day. This is so hard. I can imagine our God weeping over this. Now, along with our tears, may I also give this hope for the people who have suffered through an abortion. Let me humbly first say this. Yes, it is a sin. But our loving God has already made his provision, didn't he? What our God desires when we sin is for us to genuinely and humbly repent for our sins. God loves when his people say, Father, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But there's more. Because of our sins, God sent his son, Jesus, to die and pay the price for our sins on the cross. So yes, there's forgiveness for our sins, for all of our sins in the cross of Jesus, including for the sin of seeing our babies put to death. The forgiveness of Jesus is truly greater and bigger than any of our sins, even our worst of sins. Our God desires repentance because he has already supplied his forgiveness for us. So folks, please remember, he loves to forgive our sins, and he delights when we repent for our sin. Don't just accept his forgiveness. You and I got to do our part to repent. Repentance does not bring forgiveness, but those people who are forgiven delight to repent. So let me say it the other way. If you don't delight to repent, you have really not understood what forgiveness is, even though forgiveness is never conditional to our repentance. Get this order right, okay? Our repentance does not bring forgiveness. It's not a condition to our forgiveness. That's why the Catholics have got it all wrong with the repentance system. However, for people who know they are forgiven, we know our loving Father is loving, generous, and kind, and patient, and loves to forgive, and therefore, we love to humbly come to him and confess, repent of our sins. Are you following the connection? So I say, our God gives us tears so that we can repent for our sins, even for the sins of our nation, of our president, of our governor right now, who keep teaching us abortion is the way to go. May we taste God's sweet and powerful forgiveness, for there is no sin that our God cannot forgive us from, as long as it is not the sin of not believing Jesus' death and resurrection is the price to save us from all of our sins. You understand? Every sin he forgives, except one. And what is that one sin? When you will not believe Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection on the third day is the price to cleanse you from all of your sins. All other sins, he loves to forgive. But that, you'll never experience his forgiveness. I wanted to give you a simpler message today, and so I want to close this message. But allow me to offer a closing thought on why God changed the origin of our birthing place to inside our mother's womb. As I said before, in my opinion, inside our mother's womb is the most beautiful place for God to do his most amazing work. So I want us to understand, God delights to give all the children the best possible place for their birth, Which is why God lovingly chose inside our mother's womb. Therefore, our mothers became God's instrument of his best place for the babies to be born before we're introduced into this world. Dear people of God, as we see how much our God delighted to use our mothers to accomplish his beautiful work, our response to our mothers must be to honor her, for she is God's blessed instrument of his goodness to us. Of course, no mothers are perfect. Your mothers, your own mother, she was not perfect. She is not perfect. I love my mother, but I know she wasn't perfect. She had her sin, and it drove me nuts someday. I still can recall those days. I love her, but oh God, I couldn't stand her some days. But that's my sinfulness. So she's not perfect. Your mothers are not perfect. However, that does not change God's intention for her. Are we following? God meant for your mothers to be this beautiful, beautiful instrument of the best place possible for you as a baby to be born. So God blessed and used our mothers to give us life. Our mother were God's instrument of new life unto each of us. And if our God will use our mothers so beautifully, let's follow our God and bless our mothers for being such beautiful instruments of God's goodness to all her children. So I say this to all the moms. Moms, we praise our God for you, for being his instrument of his goodness to all your children. Mom, we thank you for willingly submitting yourself to be God's place of new life and giving us birth. Mom, thank you for not aborting us, which is why we're living and thriving in our lives, all because you obey God to be his instrument of new life. Most of all, God our Father, we praise you and thank you for sending us our mothers to be your beautiful instrument to give us life, to nurture and birth us in love, and to continually bless her children with prayers and love, truth, and grace. Mom, thank you. That's right. Heavenly Father, I thank you for bringing memories back of my mom. Such a gentle, wonderful woman she was. And yet, Lord, she could also get under my skin like no other human being could. So I fought the urge many times of snapping at her, and yet I did at times. And looking back, I am so ashamed of how I mistreated my mom. As much as she loved me, too often I returned her love with coldness, with walking away. I'm so stupid. Forgive me. I'm so sorry, Father. I want to lift up all my brothers and sisters here worshiping with us. If they've been stupid like me, will you give them tears of repentance? But not only for the foolish things we've done wrong, but will you also, Lord, fill and overflow our hearts with love, gratitude, joy and excitement and thankfulness for our moms, especially if she's still living in this world. Oh Lord, will you bless us today to move our hearts, our actions, our words to joyfully, lovingly, sincerely, genuinely, humbly, and thankfully come or go to her to truly express that she is truly God's most beautiful instrument to give us. That was our first birth, and of course, in Jesus, we received the new birth. And so, Lord, moms, you reflected and you were meant to be a signpost to Jesus' new birth. What an amazing instrument you are. We thank you. We love you. We honor you. And we cherish you, Mom. Thank you, Father, for sending Mom to each of our lives. All these things we pray. Beautiful name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I do want to make this offer to all of our members. If you want to reflect on the message,